Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's not exactly the intro I was hoping for, gentlemen, but I think it pretty well sums it up in about that SOB sitting in the White House is going to get on television to fire it back at the governors who have, you know, called him out.
Well, that's his modus operandi, right?
Yep.
I'll spread lies. If you challenge me on those lies, then I'm going to attack you. I'm not going to attack the message. I'm just going to attack you.
That's right. Yeah,
he's a
disgusting
man. He's
been
doing that his whole freaking life. And he's been getting away with it. I mean, you know, he's committing crimes and treason in the White House. But, you know, they wouldn't even bother hearing it in the Senate after he was impeached in the House. And then you had, like, a Collins up there in Maine saying, well, I think he's learned his lesson. No, the only thing he learned is he got away with that one again, too. I'm invincible. That's
well, his calling the coronavirus the Chinese virus has angered some Asians. So it's another group that he's pissed off, and that's why he will not get reelected.
Well,
sure
they were voting for him in the first place, Jack. I don't know if that's going to be that big of a deterrent.
Well,
I have no idea.
He's a disgusting man. He has no respect for anybody. All he cares about is lining his own pockets. He's a worse president in the history of any country in the world.
Yes, absolutely he is. There's no question. You know, people are saying, compare him to Herbert Hoover. One person said to me, Herbert Hoover was a businessman too. I said, yes, but he also served helping people with Belgian relief in 1914 under Wilson.
Absolutely.
He also was a food administrator, and then he went to Versailles, and then he was Secretary of Commerce under Harding and Coolidge, and actually was very bright and very talented. You know, Hoover was you know, at the time of the Depression was terrible, but you can't compare him, Hoover and Trump. Hoover had real assets, just that he messed up the Great Depression, his reaction. But people trying to say he's like Hoover, I said, only in a very vague sense. But he had been in government, just not elected, you know. So.
Plus, Hoover was a gentleman, unlike Trump. Trump's just a pig. He's just a big, crude pig.
Yeah, I've written articles for History News Network in the past saying, that Trump's no Nixon, Trump's no Reagan, and Trump's no George Wallace. I had to write an article now saying Trump is no Herbert Hoover either.
There you go.
Gentlemen, David is going to join the conversation with us today. I'm open.
Sure,
hi,
great.
David.
Oh, how you doing,
David?
Hey.
Everybody washing their hands?
Yeah.
Everybody's washing their hands a lot.
Yeah, this is scary.
Yeah. He is no Nixon, but he certainly is a Mussolini, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, most assuredly. I actually heard myself say something to somebody the other day who was speaking in terms of how to get rid of him, and I said, they did a good job with Mussolini after they tore him up.
Yeah.
You know, and I couldn't believe I said, I do not wish harm at all. I do wish that someone would step up and take the wheel, because this ship is on the rocks, and its stern is hanging in the ocean still, so somebody needs to be at the helm.
Republicans are way too timid and they're way too protective of this guy that's an absolute jerk. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The guy is the worst tempered president in history.
They are guilty by association. They protected him. They are enabling him. They are just as complimentary to this downfall and this corruption as Trump himself.
Well, they're corrupt, all right. Look at Burr. He tried to line his own pockets. So did that woman senator from Georgia. I forget her name now. She's new.
Yeah,
Leffler.
Let's not forget Dianne Feinstein's husband.
Oh, yeah, she had a hand in it, too.
Yeah.
Although, her thing was that she had someone else doing her dealing for her. It was not directly under her control.
A lot of
politicians do that. They put their trust in someone to run their affairs for them, And once in a while, it blows up in their face.
Folks is up to
yeah,
you,
the thing is, she
right?
didn't have any trades up until the point that she learned that knowledge, and then all of a sudden she had a whole bunch of trades. So you cannot tell me that she didn't inform whatever third-party trust firm, whatever, was running her stocks.
I agree, 100%.
Well,
on
corruption,
life,
you know, corruption is extends on both sides of the aisle. There's no doubt about it. But in this climate, it's corruption rules.
This is worse than the Gilded Age when it was a time of corruption. In the Grant era, or Harding era, 50 years later, the 1870s and 1920s, worse than Nixon even.
Yeah.
Nixon looks like a choir boy more than ever.
Yeah, well, these are dark days for our politics. They're just not. We're not seeing the good people come to the forefront at all.
Gentlemen,
well,
this is dark days.
Before the clown car was just putting in poor policy or just outrageous behavior, but now his actions are causing lives to be lost.
Yes,
correct.
By the thousands.
Yes.
Well, he said on information that led to the coronavirus coming over here and really making an impact, a horrible impact. There are so many deaths. We've never seen anything like this. It's just horrible. And you really can't blame anybody, but you can blame Trump and company for their sitting on their hands instead of acting positively right off the bat.
That's part of the job of a president. He was weaponizing it, saying it was all a Democratic hoax. Down there at the primary when in South Carolina when the basically Bernie Sanders and Biden were going up head-to-head with each other down there.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, yeah, he was just calling it a simple hoax. But the thing is, you know, unfortunately, there's about 10% of the population now that is lost in Italy because they got really hit worse with it. And if this bastard keeps this up saying it's just a hoax and fake, of course he's changed his tune, we could very easily see 10% numbers in this country too because there's those that would still believe it.
Well, we're the fourth largest toll of cases in the world. You know,
double
we're right
time.
Behind Italy, for Italy, Spain.
Double time. Quicker than all the rest.
Yeah,
I think America will be hit the worst. America will be hit the worst. I'm pretty sure of it.
Yep.
Well, New York's already number one. New York City and the state of New York passed Washington State and California already.
Thank God all of us are okay for now. Let's hope that it continues. Let's hope that we outlive this terrible plague.
Yes,
well,
it's feeling like it's at the door every minute. I can't stand the thought of it, you know?
Oh.
Yeah, with its incubation period, you don't know if you're sick or not.
And they tell you, don't do this, don't do that.
You could be asymptomatic carriers. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of lectures, which I'm not doing now, in senior citizen communities. A lot of them are being devastated down here in South Florida. So, of course, not being able to do it, but forgetting that, it's the fact that all those old people living there, they're living and socialize together and eat meals together, they're all in danger.
Yes.
Let me just say this, aside from everything else, anybody listening to Hear Me Monsters Radio this evening, stay home. Stay home. Be safe. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family.
Wash your hands and your face.
The only reason to go out is for groceries, and be safe when you're doing that, as safe as you can be.
And pharmacy items. That's it. Yep.
Well, most pharmacies will deliver.
Yeah, that's true. Not all, but many do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, find yourself a pharmacy that delivers.
There you go.
Put a kid in whatever protective gear you have to, and send him out on the bicycle, and let him earn some money, or in his little car, or whatever. I don't know what the answers are, but the gross incompetence and inaction of the Republicans and of this president should be punishable at a trial.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree.
Crimes
100%.
Against humanity is, I think, what they called it right after World War II.
Crimes against humanity. Good way to. That's exactly that nails it.
You like
it.
That? Let's go with that.
That nails it. Yep.
I don't know if that's even possible. You got a man like Biden who's probably going to say it's just too much trouble to go after anybody once he gets
through
the door.
I don't share that aspect at all. I don't share that outlook.
I don't
think he's hell bent on vengeance, but I think he'll pursue justice. I hope so.
We all.
Well, it's got to come from the bottom up. Bottom line, if the Democrats can take hold of the Senate and hold the House, and then they are the ones that says, okay, it's time to prosecute these people
yep.
who have committed this treasonous act back to his crimes, and they put it forward, Biden will sign the bills.
How are the health statistics in Oklahoma, David?
We're climbing. I don't know the exact numbers right now. I think there's 60 confirmed.
Oh, yeah. But the
whole thing is it's coming down to testing. I mean, nobody can get tested.
I know. That's terrible.
Yeah, they're not out there.
They're out of reagents. They're out of swabs. They're out of all kinds of aspects of
yeah.
it. It's terrible.
Professor Ron and I were talking this past week, or maybe it was last week, when West Virginia, every state had a case of it except for West Virginia.
West Virginia was the last state not to have it, yes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But the reason that I spoke was they don't have medical care. Those people are
yeah.
so poor.
Yeah.
The reason why there wasn't any registering of it, nobody could afford to go to the doctor to even find out.
Right, yep.
In West Virginia, although it's a smaller population, will have a higher percentage of people who get sick and die. Not,
yeah.
not
exactly.
numbers, percentage. Because they're so poor, and really the president, you know, manipulates them because he just talks racism and blame the Muslims and everything.
Yep.
That's what's got, you know, they used to be a Democratic state. Now they're Republican. But I think they might turn around. I see a possibility of
they
a
could.
Real landslide defeat. Not just defeat for Trump, but a real landslide. Like
well,
Hoover only won six
well,
states in 1932, you know.
Well, gentlemen, my younger sister just came out here, mouthed with her fury. That fucker is calling it the Chinese virus over and over again
as we're talking.
To address racism.
Is his Goku card.
Yep.
It was those Latin American, Spanish, Mexicans, just, you know, the raping, murdering hordes coming across our border.
But you know what
he
is? He has said he's a wartime president, a guy who had bone spurs, supposedly. So I think maybe what he wants is if he gets us into a war with China or Iran, then, of course, the argument is a wartime president, real, that we'll reelect him. I bet he's thinking that idea to make it a complex thing where how can you defeat a president in, quote,
Ron, that's insanity. That's insanity.
Well, he
that
hasn't
is
seen.
Just insanity.
Every wartime president has been reelected, including Bush in 2004. I'm just pointing it out. So maybe he really wants a war, so he can make sure that he has people backing Commander in Chief.
As a wartime president,
he wants unbridled power
to
continue and continue.
And get a reelection.
Okay. Okay, guys. Yeah. Well, I don't think he's going to be able to do that because Congress.
I hope not. I hope he doesn't get us into a war along with everything else. Or that North Korea doesn't say, a good time to strike Seattle and L.A. with our missiles.
That would
be provoked on us, and then we would have
China,
to go to war.
Ron, China is not going to take the bait of this buffoon.
No.
No country is going. All of the mullahs are in the hospital in Iran.
Yep.
Right now.
I'm talking about North Korea, I said. I'm talking about Kim Jong-un.
North Korea is not immune from this right now either. And
they're just not reporting anything.
They're just not reporting anything.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah. I'm just worried that we could have Armageddon, if they call it real Armageddon. I hope not.
But this kind of fear platform is just exactly what we don't need to be discussing. What we do need to be discussing is how solutions, you know, guys. I mean, what's the solution here? What is it? Electing a Democrat and getting a Democrat, because that's about our only option now. If we get an election.
Well, I think the Senate's going to turn, is going to flip, and I think Trump's going to be out of a job pretty soon. Let's hope. The guy has earned his way out of the White House. Not
yeah, meanwhile, there's the story of Politico that Bob Barr, our illustrious Attorney General, wants to create a situation where the election is delayed or canceled. And
yeah,
I just wrote an article on my blog, as
a
professor said, never happened any time in our history in war, depression, whatever. We've always had midterm and presidential elections on time.
Yeah, this guy, Bill Barr, is an absolute, he's an ass. He's a Trump sucker. That's all he is. He's worthless.
He needs to be arrested and removed. But the idea that they would just say we're not going to have the election in November, they can delay the primaries like they did in Ohio and a few places, delay it. But you cannot delay the election every single time in the middle of the Civil War, World War II, and everything else, War of 1812, and in midterm elections right as Washington was burned by the British, there was still election.
Well, I got to ask David, I mean, you're a pretty level-headed guy, and you know numbers pretty well, you and Wayne as engineers and such, but David, what do you think the outplay here is? I don't see how we can suppose the next moment at this point.
At this point, all I can say is whoever's elected president, and I think it'll probably be a Democrat. I think the cat's already out of the bag. I mean, the horse has left the barn.
Yeah.
There's a big disaster coming up to the country, not only health-wise, and I'm talking approaching a million people dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We're in for something that's on the level of the Great Depression.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say.
So the very thing that you do to fight this pandemic is the very thing that crashes the economy. It's people that are without jobs. Unemployment is going to reach 20% or so.
Yep.
I mean, right now they're fighting on how to give you $600 or whatever. That's not going to do anything.
No.
No.
I mean, it'll
take care of your for 1 week.
But I mean, they're talking we may have to quarantine for 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
terrible.
What's going to happen to the people with jobs and stuff like that?
Oh.
They're not going to give you 6 months of income.
Well, the economy is going to collapse under that case.
And if we have 20% unemployment while the Great Depression was 25%, we're not just talking about how close the percentage. Imagine how many more people. We had 130 million in 1930. We have 230 million now.
Oh,
so,
God,
we have three times the population. So 20% of three times almost the population is a lot more than 25% of the smaller population.
Devastation.
That's right. The absolute numbers are going to be a lot larger.
Exactly.
So,
definitely
if Biden gets elected, I mean, great. That's going to be great. At least we'll have someone confident. But what I'm saying is the horse is out of the barn already.
Yeah, I agree.
The containment is long past.
Yeah, I think we're going to have more suicides and much more crime, unfortunately.
Yep.
Very sad. A lot of death that's not related to the illness, but mental illness that leads to suicide or killing others.
Yep.
My God, we're all endangered. You know, those of us who can remain sane through this, you know.
Well, Ron, let me start that thought there, if I may. Because of the embargoes or the tariffs that Trump inflicted, I said inflicted instead of imposed, on China and the U.S. economy, those that are head of the agricultural aspects, especially in the Midwest, are saying we have lost markets, we will never get back. You have maybe a fourth generation farmer who may be in his 50s, 60s, is losing the family farm that his grandfather and the father before that and the grandfather before that started, and they are not handling it mentally.
I got a feeling
the suicide rate of farmers in the Midwest is absolutely going off.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Also,
their bankruptcies too. Their bankruptcies and consequently their suicides. They cannot handle the fact that they lost the family farm that started by their great great grandfather.
And another thing to think about is that on the global strategic stage, you know, China seems to have this leveled off pretty well. And the United States is still going to go through all this turmoil. Now, I mean, Britain had their Suez Canal. It was at 1953. That basically, that was so incompetent that it destroyed them as an empire.
Right.
And there's a very real possibility that China is going to be
the new number one.
I
think China in many ways is number one. They're certainly the largest country population.
They have the largest economy going right now.
And India is not as much threat, but it's also growing very rapidly. It's the second largest, yeah.
Yeah, India is going to be up there. The Asian continent is going to be the economic engine in the world to come.
Well, I've got to tell you, though, like with South Korea and Singapore, they know how to deal with this virus, don't they? They're very smart.
Well,
they've come up with solutions.
China has recovered 90% in its bigger industries.
Its
smaller industries are at 70%. So they're on their way.
Oh, listen.
Yep.
Listen,
to learn from Asians. Of course, China, you know, like Asians or Latinos, anybody from Africa. Sweet.
Ron, excuse me. Excuse me. I'm trying to get a word in here wise.
China
was able to lock down better than any other country because they locked people in their homes. They had they had a system in place that kept people from socializing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, deliveries were made, that kind of, they were more prepared, but that's a country that is enabled to do that. Now we have politicians who are suggesting a bar that enabling a kind of a lockdown. And as David says, you know, the horse is out of the damn barn
mm-hmm.
now. But wants to impose that kind of, how do you think that's going to go over in this country? There's going to be
what happened here.
It's going to be whole system change, structural change.
Oh, yeah.
I think whole system. I don't know how much is it, and you know what? Perhaps that's the moment that things will get better. Did you see how clear China got of pollution? There are dolphins swimming in the canals of Venice. I've been to Venice. It beautiful city, lovely architecture, great apothecaries, and the food,
the water was
stunning, but the water
terrible.
Was so high smelling, it was terrible. Can you imagine being a Venetian today and smelling a fresh sea breeze? Oh my gosh.
It'd be incredible.
There's a
it
lot
could
of
happen.
That
it probably will.
Perhaps we should learn. But
it's certainly going to be interesting times.
That's
one thing for sure. There will be big changes. Big changes are in store.
But, you know, what I'm worried about is almost always empire in decline tends to get a little bit like a cornered animal.
Yeah.
And there's one thing that we do have. We have a military. We've certainly been paying for it. So,
let us hope we don't succumb to war.
Yeah.
God.
I think that's our second nature.
That's about
it. We've been war for almost every single year of this country's life.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's what we know.
Good point. Very good point.
Yeah.
What we need is healing, mothering.
Yes.
Agreed. Glenn, right there with you, love.
Yeah, they used to say there ain't no atheists in foxholes, but right now, the way I see it, there's witches in foxholes.
Capitalists in the pandemic, is there? Everybody wants money.
Yeah.
Right. It's true. But there's also, you know, coming out of you look at what the Black Death and bubonic plague did to Europe, it created the paid worker. It created the paid worker.
Elaborate on that. It was in 600 A.D. that you don't hear that much about the Black Plague that wiped through Constantinople, Italy, Greece, you know, all the way to France, the southern Mediterranean area, because it wiped out two-thirds of the population there. This is when we lost all of our sciences, our math, literatures and things like that. It wasn't until the Renaissance that they were coming out saying again, that the world was round. Well, the Greeks knew that and knew the diameter of it. They knew the distance of it from the moon and things like this by using trig. Well, that was all lost.
Well, we call the Dark Ages we went through. That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, Roman's concrete that they, you know, poured the Pantheon there in Rome and stuff. That was all lost. They didn't know how to make even concrete until the mid-1850s, and that's when you got the cement that we have today. So that's
well,
how
I
much this, that really devastated
dark
it. Yeah, the Dark Ages, exactly, the Dark Ages. It wasn't until the Renaissance that they started relearning what the ancient Greeks knew 600 B.C.
What did you say, David?
I said, I don't think we're going back to the Dark Ages.
Me either.
No, because we have a lot recorded.
We have the best scientists in the world.
And documented. Right. It won't be that bad, but there'll be a backstep.
90% of the face masks.
One at a
all
time, please.
Were made in China. But, I mean, we're ramping up to get manufacturing, but, I mean, China's not sending over face masks, and they have 90% of the market cornered. So, I mean, it's not against China. I mean, I think the U.S. should do the same thing if they manufactured all the face masks. But that was one of the delays. Another was the CDC had the procedure where they develop the reagents and everything for doing the tests, and they didn't accept outside help. Well, I mean, that was sort of the standard procedure, and we did have a lot of plans for pandemics. I mean, we certainly practiced it, but there's a lot of things that caught us off guard. I mean, everything is not Trump's fault. The thing that Trump did bad was he denied it in that certain critical window of 2 weeks.
Absolutely. There was a critical window. We should have been reacting, and he was saying it was all a Democratic hoax. You couldn't have said it better. Then you nailed it.
Yeah. So, but it is what it is now. I mean, it would be nice to have a leader that actually doesn't tell lies right on the national stage. But I think at this point, people aren't believing him anyway.
No.
I mean, he's like a David.
Well, there still are a very ignorant lot out there. I heard one of these idiots on TV. It was on a CNN commercial or something. He's referring to the Democrat plague. Like we started a plague just to get at Trump. It's insane.
Well, Trump keeps on blaming Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi. It's so ridiculous, and Barack Obama for everything. The media is creating it.
Barack Obama's fault.
I'm always going to have people that believe the Earth is flat.
I can't even respond.
I thought it was.
Did anybody catch what Rachel Maddow did Friday night, what she said?
I did see the clip, but go ahead. You explain it, Gwen.
Well, I mean, she basically called out everything Trump has done in front of the camera every day. And then she said, you know, there's simply no reason for the networks to be covering this stuff because it's just bad information. And she said, I am saying right here that the clips that do have some value should be shown afterwards, but to go live with these is irresponsible. And then this morning on AM Joy played the clip and said, this is true. Now, they both put their jobs on the line in a lot of ways to do that. I thought it's pretty brave of them because, you know, basically – you don't tell networks how to run things, but...
When you're Rachel Maddow, you can kind of write your own ticket. You can't completely, but you have a lot of leverage that AM Joy might not have, but at any rate...
I really don't believe that anymore, Jack. Because...
I don't think she's vulnerable at all with MSNBC. She's the reason that they're number one in their time slot.
If she goes first...
They're not going to fire her.
I remember Doc Maddow on Air America. Do you? She sounded like a guy I know in Roundtree 7, Terry Thompson. Brilliant dude. And he's like, you know, complete structural reboot is necessary now. That was Doc Maddow, and she was brilliant. And then she got Keith Olbermann's attention, and she came and she sat in for Keith.
Yep.
And they gave her a show, and
she got in line.
You know, she probably feels the same way. Pardon me, gentlemen. She probably feels the same way as Keith Olbermann does at this point, but she's doing the best job she can
Absolutely.
And she cares about what she's doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she's following, she is following a line also. And she, you know, she knows that most of the heads that used to listen to her and old timers like myself, that were listening to her and Al Franken back in the day and that kind of thing, she probably knows we know better, but we're supposed to read between her lines. That's basically it. And if you've read any of the two books she's published since she's gotten into networks, she is so bright, and she nailed
it. She is,
it.
Absolutely, yes.
She nailed a lot of it, and it's before, just as it was, she was publishing as it was happening, and she was just drawing the lines between this, that, and the other at her job. And it's like, wow.
That's what makes her so remarkable and irreplaceable.
What she did on Friday reminded me of good night and good luck. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I like that. Very good.
Ed Murrow?
Edward R. Murrow, yeah.
Edward R. Murrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he told CBS to kiss his ass as a gentleman. You know, he just wasn't knuckling. He wasn't knuckling, and he kept going after McCarthy. He did. McCarthy wasn't the only thing that Murrow ever went after. Guys,
no.
You know, the guy was outstanding journalist and
a big progressive and very enlightened.
Hunter S. Thompson before Hunter. Must have been channeling some of them sometimes.
Yep.
And
who's
channeling Hunter now? Not anybody really, but if there's anybody who comes close that has a big spotlight on him, I think it's Maddow.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know,
that's a good point.
Every age has its stars and starlets, yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
What I like about
Edward R. Murrow, and the reason why he probably didn't kowtow and wasn't afraid of him, this is a man who sat in London, England, during the heaviest of the buzz bombs attacks of Germany and the bombing that
yep.
they were flying in.
That's right.
And the Spitfires were trying to keep them at bay. This is the man who sat through that and nightly broadcasted the latest news from there. You think McCarthy was showing him anything? No.
Hell
that
no.
Man already knew.
McCarthy was an opportunistic buffoon. That's all he was.
Absolutely.
He's a big mouth.
He
was like Trump in many ways.
Yeah, well, he was a coward, first of all. And secondly,
yeah.
He was a drunk.
Like Trump.
He was a drunk. He was actually drinking
while those investigations
were going on.
Oh, yeah.
And he croaked that way. I thought, well, that's a terrible thing. He died
He did die. Yeah, he died early.
Only 49 years old when he died in 1957. Yep.
Yeah.
And who?
But
was
there were people who loved him and thought he was saving the country from quote communism.
Well,
and
they were
thinking, you know, he was maybe someday he could run for president until he got knocked down by the Senate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
the thing was, he was basically the engine that started the John Birch Society, which was basically the regathering of all old Klansmen.
That's right.
That's what the John Birch. Brother John Birch.
Yeah.
And McCarthyism.
And the John Birch Society later said Eisenhower was a communist and Ronald Reagan was a communist.
Everybody was, you know. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Well, they got carried away big time.
What? Jeez. Carried
and
away.
Actually,
I wonder,
what do they say about Trump? Do they call him equivalent of a communist because he's so close to Putin?
No.
I don't actually know. I don't hear much about the John Birch Society anymore.
Well, you don't hear anything from
Trump
anymore, but that's
I wonder what they think.
Though.
There is still
an
organization. I think it's still around, but you don't hear much about it. But and all these Republicans, you know, love him so much and that are in Congress and his closeness to Putin. It's unbelievable, you know.
Mitch McConnell just open-handedly taking glad hands. Go ahead, Claire.
Ron, walk up to a student of yours over at the college and ask a young woman, and ask her, who's Phyllis Schlafly? Do you think she'll know?
No, but I've talked about her in classes. She's gone now. But she was so anti-ERA, and so, you know, she was just a horror, but very bright. I mean, she wasn't stupid like Trump.
No.
That's the thing. Some of them are very smart, which makes them even more dangerous, you know.
She
Phyllis Schlafly.
Like McCarthy, she was a put-up job. don't know exactly who put her up, but she was a put-up job. And,
yeah,
and
yep.
there's a lot of that going around. And then the ones that you really do, hey, man, I was a teenager, and my mother took me to junior league lunch so I could sit next to and listen to Gloria Steinem speak because she admired her and what she was doing.
Gloria Steinem was very good.
Yeah. Well, my mom was an Ike Republican, too. You know, she voted for Reagan.
Oh, my God.
Did you disown her? No, more the other way around. No, in my family, I wasn't taught that way. And my mother said to me, you know, as she did with after being, you know, confirmed by the bishop, she said, giving you a spiritual education now, young lady, it's up to you to find your way. And I have. And when I went away to school and she knew I was going to be casting my first vote, she said, you know, you've campaigned for your uncles and you know politics well enough to make your own choices, and I respect those choices. You should have seen the look on her face when she saw my poli-sci paper was on Franklin Delano Roosevelt. She called him Franklin Deficit. But
talk about deficits. How about Ronald Reagan tripling the deficit? How about
right.
Donald Trump has done and Bush too has done? Oh my God! Look who's talking.
76% increase in the deficit under conservative Trump. There you go, Professor.
Yes.
Yeah,
Much more than national debt has been created under Republican presidents than under Democrats. But they always like to talk about FDR, but not about Reagan tripling the debt.
Well, I was the raging liberal all my life and my family.
Raging liberal, just, like that.
Yeah, I was. I got Billy clubbed and stuck in the pokey a few times. Once notably, but I did get shook hand a couple of times. Protesting. Doing this, doing that, apartheid, acting up for AIDS. I mean, I've always been on that side of the street, but my family has always respected me and supported me and listened to me, and I listened to them. And they told me, they raised me to know that if I had any privilege or standing in a community, I owed it to that community because they prepared the way and made it so. And that's how you get along. You give back to the community. Well, they were Republicans in the 1850s and 60s. They were abolitionists.
Republican Party, yes.
I was going to say.
I would have been a Republican. I told students I would have been a Republican at that time, too.
Yeah. And I've heard people, friends, and when I was young, some of my school chums or what have you, that came out of supposedly liberal Democrat families that were so racist it was unreal. I mean, you know, Dixiecrats, babe. You know, people are people. And political parties, I think, geez, I hope we get rid of them. I really hope we get rid of them.
We're not going to get rid of them because they're part of our history. They're not going to suddenly disappear, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look
at it. Hierarchies shift. They do shift.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
You need groups to organize to get things done. You can't have everybody being an individual. So that's why we have political parties since Hamilton and Jefferson's time.
Right.
I agree there. It doesn't have to necessarily, though, be that there's only two parties. And, of course, in this country, there theoretically aren't just two different parties, but the
two major parties.
Yeah, well, the last time we changed party names was 1854 when the Whigs disappeared and the Republicans were created. But if anything, I've joked that maybe we should go back to the Whig Party and bring back Abraham Lincoln, Daniel Webster, Henry Clay, and John Quincy Adams. Not a bad start, correct?
Their equivalents are somewhere.
Yeah,
right,
I'm just saying, this Whig Party, I would have been a Whig in the 1840s. I would not have been a Democrat, definitely not, you know.
No.
But those changes are coming, I think. I mean, I hear David being very quiet about it, but I would think, hopefully, that these shifts and changes are coming structurally because what has happened has failed us. And
oh,
the corruption,
yeah.
the corruption, the income inequality, the whole effing system. Now, I'm not against what it's supposed to stand on, ever. What I am against is that, you know, you're going to put up or shut up. Do you walk your talk or no? And that's from the very beginning. So,
well, I think the Republican Party, as you know, I have the long 150-year legacy of belonging to the Republican Party and my family, excuse me, on the Johnson side. But right now, there's been irreparable damage to the Republican Party. I don't think it will ever be the same because they have assimilated and acquiesced and enabled this Trump administration.
That's right.
And I think that's going to set, well, like I said, I left. When I moved to Annapolis here, I re-registered as a Democrat because I was not going to be part of the party that separated children from their parents at the border, coming here to escape the atrocities being committed upon them in their own country. That, you know,
there was such a shift in the midterm elections, and it was very woman dominant. And I'm really, quite frankly, I'm quite surprised about the whole Democratic, you know, primary race. I really
That it ended up with two old white guys.
Yeah, I mean that's like going to
that
bed.
That was shocking.
That's like going to bed, laying on the pillow and crying. I mean, are you kidding me? On that note, because I know Jack and I do practice a spiritual nature. I would suggest to anybody listening, if you do that, if you send good energy or a prayer, Angela Merkel has gone into self-isolation.
The current leader of the free world that filled the vacuum that Trump stepped away from.
Yeah. Just before I was gearing up to put this on, I heard that. But, you know, this is what it is.
We've never seen anything like this pandemic. It's just absolutely horrible. It's the worst thing we've seen in our time.
In our time, yes.
Yeah,
right.
You know, if you were to design a disease that would highlight the diminishing social structure of the United States over the past 40 years or 30 years, you couldn't have done something better.
Exactly.
The economic strengths that we have based on the workers, that's taken away.
Yep.
The manufacturing base, which was shipped overseas, is taken away. The healthcare system, which was the entire system designed for profit. You have no excess backup or inventory of anything. Everything's stripped down to, we have to have at least 70% of our ICU beds occupied, or we won't have any open ones, so therefore we trim it to the very least. And then to top it off, we elect this bozo clown that doesn't have a clue about government, and he thinks that he knows everything. He's a self-centered narcissist that cannot tell the truth to American people. So it's a shitstorm of everything that is bad about the past 30 years of this country. It's been sort of melded together with this disease.
It's the accumulation right now. We're seeing the combining of that, all that running together right now today.
I will always, for the rest of my life, I will be in utter amazement that this country ever elected a guy like Donald Trump. What an absolute buffoon, bully, bullshit idiot.
Well, it tells you a lot about
the electorate. It makes you, it really is scary.
Well, it also tells you about the power of media.
Oh, yeah.
And it tells about many things that we've known that we've actually been writing about for the last 15 years. And it's stunning, though, what is going on now and how it's going. You know, come what may, it's been a pleasure, gentlemen.
Away with bullshit for just so long, and then finally it does catch up with you. And it has come up with Trump with a vengeance. There's no escape for that guy.
It's not just Trump, though. You have no social net to catch people.
Oh, it's scary.
I also blame this news for profit, blatantly lying basically he was just going into a carnival shit show act.
Oh yeah.
And the media wasn't calling him out on the plethora of lies that he was propagating.
Exactly.
Saying,
yeah.
You said that they just treated him like,
yeah,
hey, look at this joke.
All the media has been purchased. There's only like four major mega corporations that own everything. So the days of Edgar Murrow are long gone, too. That's just another point in the weakness structure here. It's everything has come together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's not a single reporter. I mean, look at the reporter that asked Trump about what do you say to the American people about, you know, trying to.
Nope.
Fear
of dying, getting sick, yeah.
And he ripped into the reporter. Every single reporter should have walked out of the room, but they can't.
Exactly. Or called him out on it.
I witnessed that years ago when I was working on the Sun Sentinel. I witnessed that. You know, I don't know if you'll remember, Ron. Do you remember Ann Bishop?
Yes, of course. On Channel, it was on ABC, I think. I think it was ABC in Miami, or was it NBC?
Yeah.
I
followed her as photographer and taking notes. I followed her saddle shoes all over the place. And I saw her stand up, get up, and walk out on a politician who was talking just absolute crap. And I can't even remember the issue. But she got up and walked out. Because she did, three other major newscasters did the same thing, local boys.
We need more of that.
Yeah, well.
Rachel Maddow said, shut him down.
Shut him down.
Yep.
But here he is, as we're getting ready to come on, here he is getting those cameras. And this is filling a narcissistic void in him right now that he's feeling, because he can't go out and stand in front of all these people and get his chubby with, you know, the adoration of the haters. It's stunning.
Yeah, it's the ultimate bullet pulpit.
Yeah, you know what should have happened when the issue with Peter Alexander occurred? All of the journalists that were there should have in unison said, Mr. President, you're lying, you're not showing compassion, and
there
we're out of here, and walk out all of them to back
I
Peter
agree.
Alexander.
That's what
that would have been very powerful.
Yes.
And you know, it might happen yet. It might, you never know, guys. Because I think we're in a time period, and of course now, she's going into the woo-woo land here, but I don't think we know what's going to happen in the next moment at this point. So,
everything's so unpredictable. Good point.
Yeah.
We are definitely writing new chapters in a book.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's an understatement.
You know, America has a way of stepping up. I mean, they have to be woken up, but they do have a history of stepping up to the plate. I mean, look at World War II. Well, we had like three or four planes when we started.
Absolutely right. My mom was a kid. She had her mom sign her in when she graduated right away into the Navy. Because that's how people stepped up. I mean, everybody, the paper drives, the rubber drives, Rosie the Riveter. I mean, we did spectacular things. And that's when they put penicillin into the battlefields.
Trump
disbanded that whole scientific institution. He threatened them with, and they're gone, and they would be involved in this.
He's anti-intellect and he's anti-science. There's no doubt about that, and that is a lethal combination.
Because he's jealous of those who have an
understanding. Anti-science, because that's my wheelhouse.
Say Biden is elected. What do you think Biden should first do?
I agree. He won't, though, but...
It's not going to save people.
No, it's not. He's got to step up to the plate and change everything up. But he can also appoint people to the DOJ who will start investigations right away.
Yes, absolutely. Well,
yeah.
we do need a Justice Department overhaul, and that, I think
he will do that. But, okay, what is his plan? Is he immediately, like, revamp every single department and put in true professionals that can make decisions?
He has to.
Instead of his ass hack.
Mobile hospitals? I mean, what is it going to...
where are our mass, where is our mobile hospitalization from the military? And every branch of the military has it. Why is it not on the ground here with us?
I will say that in Maryland, Governor Hogan has brought up the National Guard.
Good for
him. To help out with supply lines, to help out with the medical needs of the areas and stuff. He's
all
a Republican, and like I said, all Republicans aren't bad, but Governor Hogan in Maryland has said we're mobilizing the National Guard. We've got to start addressing issues that this state has.
Yep.
Every state I've been hearing from is using their National Guard at this time. Down in Miami, they're helping the state troopers to do tests now. Drive-through tests started.
Good.
But I'm talking about the medical capability. I'm talking about the medical capability that we have at wartime. Why is it not on the ground with, you know, helping our hospitals?
Well, this came out of nowhere. You can't do it overnight, and it's taken a few months for the country to come to grips with this thing, and we're still doing that. And I have hope and I have belief that we will rise to the occasion and finally get the proper things in place, because we can't keep going the way we are, or we all will die.
Right. As a general whole, you got to exclude the teabaggers and the Trumpsters, but as a whole, this nation does step up and does what is right.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a little doubtful on that military. You know,
it takes a while sometimes.
I'll tell you what. Every time there's a huge tragedy on this planet, you see, you know, our troops in there with helicopters and medical units and all kinds of supplies. Now, granted, it is not on the level of what we are facing in the moment. Yet,
no.
And people forget that we are first responders with our military, earthquakes
right.
and floods and everything else.
Right.
But it keeps our mobile military medical units on their toes for the most part. Why are they sitting on their asses in camps all over this country?
Well, they're directed from the top, and that there's very little leadership from the top. It's chaotic
right.
at best, and it's very absent, and that's the bad thing about the Trump misadministration.
Well, no need to mobilize it because it's a Democratic hoax anyway, Gwen.
I don't know what he said. I've been on the radio with you guys, so I know he was
on
I'm
for not talking
like
about now. I'm
15
talking about,
or 20
yeah.
minutes. He was,
I was
I don't
talking
know
about
how,
weeks ago when he should have been responding.
I know. I don't know how long he was on for. I know he's off now because I see it on my phone, but
he's just a blabbermouth bullshitter that has no insight into anything, and he just tries to portray that he does. That nails it right there. The guy's an absolute phony.
He's a terrible huckster, P.T. Barnum wannabe.
Okay.
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
You got it. You got it.
Okay. David, how much damage do you really think he's doing to himself and to the structure that's in place there right now as he does these daily, you know, this damage to the population?
I think his presidency is great
over.
And great danger as far as the institution itself.
I asked David.
Yeah, he's done. I mean,
he's
enough people have seen that he's, you know, a complete bullshitter. And the fact is that people are going to have relatives and immediate family close to him that are going to be dying. And they're going to look directly to him and say, hey, look, you're the one that caused this two-week delay. You know, we put up with your bullshit before. But he's done.
He's cooked.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Especially, the only thing that he had positive that he could use as a campaign was the economic strength. And that's going to be
now lower
I'm
than when Obama left office. He lost it all. Yep.
Well,
lost it all.
35% drop in 1 month from February 22 to today.
Yeah.
Wait till the bell rings on Monday. Wait till the bell rings on Monday.
Yeah.
And it's going to keep dropping.
The general, Joe Blow out there that's saying he's done. It's the people that have all the money in Wall Street, all the investors, all these super high one percenters. They're going to see all the money that they lost, and they're going to get rid of him.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing, too, if I may add. Now, my demographics, of course, is the baby boomers. I'm 67 years old, and I saw this crash coming. Coronavirus was not even being spoken of here. The P.E. ratios, this is back in Thanksgiving time period, were so skewed off. The price of the stock for its earnings weren't even in reality, and it was so blatantly obvious that corporations were manipulating their stocks by buying their stocks back, supply and demand, driving the price up. The CEOs were making their bonuses off of that. Well, right before Christmas, I called my stockbroker and I said, my 401k, which was the biggest, I have that in a Roth IRA, but my 401k, I said, pull it all out, put it in a high interest FDIC insured savings account. They're going to crush the economy.
That's smart.
They did.
Wow.
Coronavirus.
Gentlemen, we are at the end of the hour. I want to thank everybody for coming on. I do want to say this, that we should leave on a positive note by saying to people who are listening in and who double back to listen to the show that, you know, at this point anywhere in the world, stay home, be safe. You know, be with your family. Care. Be kind. Be kind out there.
And we shall overcome. There is no doubt in my mind. We will rise to the challenge, and we will defeat this horrible virus. It will come at a cost, but we will be victorious. So
we will
keep the faith
at the ground level.
Keep
it won't
working.
Be coming down from the top.
Keep pushing forward.
But
that's all you can do.
Exactly. And I do have faith in the American people.
So
Absolutely.
Do I.
Thank you, everybody, for
you,
showing up tonight. Thanks, David. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, David.
Thanks,
Ron.
Thank you.
Oh, I hated to
Great
be a
show.
Doom and gloomer. But,
Great show.
6 months of beans.
6 months of beans. There you go, David.
At least we'll survive. So let's keep pushing forward, and we'll talk to you next week. Look forward to it. Yeah, have a great week.
Yes, stay safe out there, people, and be kind. This has been the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. We will be back on Sunday next at 6 p.m. Thank you for listening. Be safe. Be well.